He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
I was reminded this week, I was preparing that about the habits that we have. There are some habits we have that are, of course, good. Habits like brush your teeth first thing in the morning. We're all thankful when we do that. Things like, you know, things that we teach our kids and our grandkids, and sometimes we have to remind them ad nauseum. When you take off your clothes, pick them up, put them in the laundry hamper, wash your hands after going to the bathroom. All these habits that we now do naturally that we had to reinforce again and again, good habits. But of course, we also know in our life there's some bad habits too. There's some things that, man, we just wish we didn't do. Things that sometimes also were formed in our childhood. Things that became like survival instincts. When things get stressful, when things are not the way that we would want them to be, what do we tend to do? Everyone has, of course, different coping mechanisms, different ways. Some turn to eating, some turn to drinking, some turn to just letting everything around them get messy. Some withdraw, right? Don't talk to people. Some, no, confront what's going on, and sometimes cause them to snap or say things that they regret. Habits that for us were at some point in time perhaps survival instincts, those things that helped us get through the stresses of trying to figure out who we are and how to navigate this world. And a lot of times we often will find ourselves looking back perhaps at a good habit missed or a bad habit yet again entertained, saying, man, what's wrong with me? What's going on here? I know I'm more than that. And that is kind of the wrestling that Paul invites us to hear in Romans chapter 7 today. It's the kind of wrestling with, he knows he is so much more than just mistakes made or things he wished he had done. In fact, he believes that's the case for all of us. And so let's go to Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I can't do it. No, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." This passage picks up from where we left off last week. I don't know if you remember, but after we had that second reading in Romans, we were all like, "Ooh, that just ended on bad news." We all just kind of cringed a little bit. I was like, and I remember sitting there waiting, like, "Oh, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better." But here we are. He hangs on that a little bit, recognizing that things aren't quite where we want them to be. That we recognize that we don't always kind of live the life we had hoped we would. Doesn't always get expressed the way that we want. And I think Paul is identifying with us and helping us to see that all throughout Romans so far, as we've been making little stops along the way in this book, that when he has talked about the sin of Adam, when he's talked about how law brought about sin, and he's talked about these theological concepts, He, in chapter 7, slips into the personal I. He wants us to recognize that what he's talking about is not just concepts that are out there. They're things that have to do with who we are. And I think when Paul talks about this, he's not necessarily talking about what he is struggling with, although he could be. I think this is his rhetorical way of saying that when we understand the story of humanity and the story of Adam and or the story of Adam and Eve and how sin enters the world and how they were tempted to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil and how they took on for themselves what was supposed to be entrusted to God, that move is the same thing we do every time that we sin against God or every time that we choose for ourselves something contrary to God. His move to start saying, hey, this is what I don't do, or this is what I wish I did, is a way of saying everything he's talking about when he talks about the law has to do with the very lives that we lead. And so he said at the beginning of this passage, he said, the law is spiritual, which is a way for him to say it is sourced from God. God gave us the law. God gave us the way in which he wanted us to live faithfully to him. And when he says, but I am of the flesh, it's his way of saying, but I come ultimately from Adam, the one from whom sin comes from. And so he's recognizing that there is this discrepancy between how God wants him to live and how he is compelled to live. But Paul makes another move in this passage. Not only does he go all throughout the book, he was talking in the third person. He was talking about just the concepts of the law and sin and grace and God. Moves now to talk about I. But he makes another move too. He goes from past to present. He's not just talking about what happened long ago. He's saying right now, this is the consequence of that sin. This is what I'm dealing with. These are my struggles. It's a reminder that we're still in the age of Adam. We still live in the flesh. We're still in control. We're still in the control of the sin that was inherited. We are still, if you will, if we borrow from the passage in Exodus that was read, we are still living in a land in which the temptations and the power of sin still seeks to enslave us. We still live with that tendency to lean into the ways of sin rather than into the ways of God. And this is the struggle that Paul is mentioning. This may be his personal story, but I think it's also his way of saying we relate with the struggle of sin. It's his way of saying when we look at what Paul is saying, we can go, yeah, you know what, we know what you're talking about and you know what we're facing. It's not this, we don't read this and say, oh, Paul, what's wrong with you? But we go, oh, yeah, I get that. I give numerous examples of not doing what I want to do or wishing I could be stronger and doing what I want to do. I told Diane at her house in small group last week, I'm 9 weeks sober from caffeinated beverages. and if you've been here for a while, some of you are probably thinking, oh, again? Because it's been a struggle for me again and again. And so there are often times in which we recognize, yeah, sometimes the ways in which we wish we live, we don't quite measure up. Sometimes it's, you know, not responding with the grace we wish we did. Sometimes when I think of the things that I wish I did or hating when I don't do what I don't want to do, I think of, man, all the times there's probably a better way I could have said, all right, or a better way in which I could have responded. When Paul says this, when Paul talks about this, he's not just shifting blame. And when he says things like, when I don't do what I want to do, he says, it's not me, it's the sin within me. Paul is not shifting blame. He's not passing the buck. I don't think this is meant to be understood as a kind of like devil made me do it kind of thing, where he says, where he doesn't want to take responsibility or something. But Paul is recognizing that who we are, how we are defined, is so much more than the sin in our life. And so when he says it's the sin within me, it's because he recognizes who he is in God, who he was created to be, is not supposed to be this person lost in sin, not someone enslaved. And if Adam is created by God and sin entered into humanity, then there's a recognition that the creation of humanity once involved a time with no sin. Thus, humanity, Adam and Eve, is not first and foremost defined by the sin they committed or their shortcomings. In other words, I'm only human is not an excuse in Paul's mind. To be human is to be created by God. To be human is to be created for God. So if sin is getting in the way of how we live for God, the problem's not with me, the problem is with sin. And so this is what Paul is saying when he says, it's not me that's doing it, it's sin. And so what he's suggesting is, we got to take care of the sin problem. It's like when you go to the doctor, right? You go to the doctor and you say, doctor, there's something wrong with me. Something hurts, something doesn't feel right, something's just not working the way it's supposed to do. And they check it out and they go, okay, we'll try to figure this out. And if they don't figure it out, you come back and say, no, I'm still struggling with this. This is the problem. I'm not breathing right. It doesn't feel right. Whatever the case is. Okay, let's try this and figure this out. If it's not working, we go back, no, I'm still struggling with this. But the understanding, the hope, the reason we go back to the doctors is we hope sooner or later they're going to say, oh, found it. Here's the problem. Let's take care of it. Let's get rid of it. We don't just say, oh, well, that's who I am now. I guess I'm just the person who has to deal with this, usually. And so so this is what Paul is saying with the problem of sin. That is there a way that we can hope, that we can yearn, that the problem of sin could be taken care of, could be removed? Because the sin has gotten in the way of living according to God's law. And so Paul talks about the law here and the struggle with the law that he wants to fulfill and the law at war that's telling him not to. Paul is keeping in mind when he talks about the law here, of course, the Torah, the first section of our Bible by which God tells his people how to live. But he is also shifting to generic principles to say, hey, we know that there are ways in which we ought to live, and those laws sometimes clash with the decisions we end up making. And so Paul, recognizing that that clash is not where he wants to be, and not where he understands God wants him to be, he calls himself wretched, recognizes this way of life is adverse to the ways of God. And if sin is trapped within us and indeed becomes the puppet master of our lives, then we're doomed. For Paul has already said the wages of sin is death. And so if this is just the struggle, then that's it. All that's left is death. And so he's wondering who rescues us from this? Who saves us from this? And this is the good news of verse 25. He says, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ's salvation event on the cross is for us our present deliverance. This body of death is saved from death by the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a, hey, something happened once and now we can hope for something later. It is also a present promise, a saving from the indwelling power of sin. Now, the struggle's still there. Paul is talking about that struggle right there. There's a war going on, he says. Sometimes I don't do what I wish I could do. The struggle's there. And the struggle's always going to be there on this side of eternity. But the struggle is not one that is done in defeat. But it's a struggle recognizing and in hope that God is with us to help align our desires to him, to overcome sin in our life, to overcome that which we have always leaned on before as well. That's just the way I've always been. The salvation of Jesus is a setting free and a releasing of our bonds so that we can live faithfully, so that we can be rescued from the power of sin. Every week we gather together at the table here as a testimony, as a way of witnessing that Jesus saves us from the power of sin in our life, and we use as that symbol the very symbol used in Exodus when God saved his people from the slavery we just read about. Recognizing that that which holds us back, God wants to set us free from. And so for us, the question when Paul says, you know, I struggle to do what I don't want to do, and I keep doing what, you know, I'm not doing what I wish I could. The question for us is not, well, what do I have to do then? Because he knows that that war is at work. The question for us is, well, how can I be faithful now? How can I be faithful when I'm still struggling? How can I start to take the next steps or find the next position to kind of move the way I need to move, to go where God wants me to go? Paul knows that sin continues to lurk. Sin continues to get in the way. But his praise and his adoration goes to Jesus Christ, because on the cross, death does not have to be the final result of the sin that is waging in our life. Instead, we can be a people who say, I know God is bigger than this. Seek his forgiveness, but also ask for his power each and every day to wrestle just a little bit better, in the hopes and in the promise that God's sanctifying power will set us free and liberate us for good. And so this passage of Scripture for us, as we read it, continue to remember that when he says, this is my struggle, and he uses that word I, it's an inclusive I. We're supposed to see in that, yeah, I understand that struggle. And so then when we see others who are likewise struggling, to look upon that struggle also inclusively and to say, oh, I've been there. I know that struggle. And so to read Romans 7 is not to look at it with a judging eye, but an eye saying, God's been working in me and God's going to work in you. Let's help move forward together and figure out how we can live a way that fully aligns with God and recognizes his power over our sin. Let us continue to seek ways in which we can just ask, okay, God, how can I be faithful today? Help me through whatever I face. Let's pray together. Lord, it is good to be able to be here in this place of worship and to hear from Paul again the reality that we often face in our life. That the way in which perhaps a day has gone is not the way that we would have wanted. Whether that's because we did not step faithfully in love towards those whom we interacted with, or perhaps because in some way we have sinned against you. Lord, it is good to know we can come before you, ask not just for your forgiveness, but for your strength in a new day, to overcome, to seek reconciliation, indeed, Lord, to seek freedom from those sins. Lord, I pray that where we have found ourselves entering into habits that have been neglected, or good habits that have been neglected, or poor habits that have caused greater wedges in our relationships, Lord, I pray that you help us in that struggle. For reconciliation is hard work. And I pray, Lord, you help us to be people of grace. Lord, how good it is to know that there is forgiveness, there is freedom, and we are not lost to the ways of sin in this world, but through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit breathed out into this world, that we can live victorious in your grace. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be attentive to your will, Direct us for your purpose, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.